This week's episode of Still Untitled is brought to you by Movement Watches. Movement Watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price. They have classic designs, quality construction, and styled minimalism. Over 500,000 watches have been sold in over 160 countries. Now you can get 15% off your Movement watch today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmtwatches.com/untitled. Again, that's mvmtwatches.com/untitled. Now is the time to step up your watch game. Go to movementwatches.com/untitled to join the movement. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam. And today we have special guest.
Oh, I didn't realize I was responsible for my own intro.
I just made that up right here.
Janet Varney?
It's good. Confidence comes through.
Audible gulp.
So?
A friend of Tested and Unstoppable and one of the people who makes me feel like I'm not busy enough. Janet Varney runs Sketchfest, among many other projects.
It's true.
San Francisco Sketchfest, a yearly, is it a month long?
I mean,
ish.
It's 3 weekends and then a bunch of days in between.
And then there's stuff in the summer.
We do stuff in the summer. We do stuff that's off season. I selfishly like doing that stuff because it gives me a reason to come up here. So anytime there's an opportunity, someone's like, well, we do have the opportunity. I'm like, great. Sounds good.
It's become kind of one of San Francisco's premier cultural like festivals. We don't have a lot of music. I mean, we have some music festivals in the summer, but it's nothing that kind of goes on for a long time. And this is like, it's a month of just awesome stuff. It seems like every night, but I know it's not quite that. But it's fabulous, and it's about comedy for the most part.
Yeah. We started with just sketch because that was what we were doing at the time as performers, and there weren't really that many places to perform sketch in San Francisco 16 years ago. And so we ended up partnering with 5 other groups that we had met in the year that we had been performing sketch and said, would you guys be open to us renting a theater? We could share the cost, but we could split the profits. And then none of us would have to do like a month long show.
Right.
Which is not, it's not the Fantastics. You're not like, I think we're going to start getting really solid in week 2. It's like you do your sketch set 5 times in a row over 2 weeks, and you're like, I hate this. I hate all of this. So we wanted to do fewer performances and then give the opportunity to the groups that we had met to share audiences, because they were all really different, and there wasn't a whole lot of crossover in, Casper Hauser had its hardcore Casper Hauserins, but because there wasn't this sort of like UCB environment, there just wasn't a place where people were like, I like all sketch, or I like to check out, and see what I like. It was just sort of like, you found your audience and then good luck to you.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a chance to do that. And then it went so well that we started branching out. And then over the years, we've really found ways to just jam in stuff that I'm not even sure is comedy anymore. Like, I start having ideas of doing tributes for people that I can't even name a comedy they've done, but I'm like, I'm sure we could make it work. They're probably funny in person.
Well, and my wife yesterday, the day before, went to the most comedy event I think you have, which was the West Wing Weekly. Which they did live here, I think, for the first time.
It was the first time, yeah.
And she just came out. She was just so excited. She was beside. And it was a tough ticket to pull. So
yeah. Well done.
She was very excited. Yeah,
it was a great show. Yeah, they're really. Josh is so funny. He's the coyote trickster of Hollywood. So he really is the kind of prankster. But when I came in, when I started doing the Thrilling Adventure Hour, mm-hmm. which he is also a part, someone pulled me aside and gently warned me, like, he hasn't been doing this lately, but sometimes he just does this thing where he takes all of your script pages and shuffles them around, and you don't know it until you're on stage. And
that's
for
monstrous.
Those of you who don't know, Thrilling Adventure Hour is predicated on we only read from a script.
Right.
There's very little, if any, improvising other than if someone flubs something, you've sort of opened the door slightly. But nobody just like goes off book and starts razzing around as a so
oh
that put the fear of God in me. I was like, moo.
And I mean those, I've met him backstage at Thrilling Adventure, and I mean that backstage I find incredibly intimidating.
Oh, do you?
I do. It's I totally do.
Because, it's definitely fun.
I mean, you know, I know that being funny is everyone's living back there.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, there's a way in which...
There's a lot of actors in there, too. Which I know, that's how you make your living.
I'm a pretender. I'm a spy in the house of love no matter what. But, you know, one of the things that when people think about a career in comedy, they think of stand-up. They think of the way Chris Hardwick or Craig Ferguson came up. But Paul F. Tompkins and a small group of comedians like Zach Galifianakis really pioneered this a different way at Largo, and then UCB sort of took on Second City's mantle and spread around the country. And yeah. I think of Sketchfest as a piece of this, of like, oh, you can actually bring the audiences to you rather than go out there and do battle every night right. in an angry comedy club of drunk. What,
you mean the comedy club in the basement of the Holiday Inn in Albuquerque? It's a great place to go. Everybody loves that.
You know, look, you know, I've been on stage with Mike Birbiglia, who seems like he's totally like, hey, you know, whatever kind mm-hmm. of thing. But when you're on stage with someone who's that practiced at the road, the laser crazy focus of yeah. their ability to smell the audience on this tiny yeah. granularity.
I totally agree. And I don't have that need to go. Like, I have never been the Holiday Inn in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. All due respect to Albuquerque.
I mean, I love Albuquerque.
But I mean, at
it's
least
great.
Try to go the Holiday Inn in Santa Fe. Right, guys? Come on.
The Amarillo one.
The Taos, the artisanal Holiday Inn in Taos, New Mexico.
Or Sedona. Yeah.
Well, the
Sedona,
Laugh Factory exactly. in Amarillo is really, it's a great place. It's amazing.
I mean,
really
I just
fabulous.
Couldn't do it, right? I couldn't, I did nothing about, I feel sort of, sometimes lazy, or I feel, speaking of feeling like you're a spy in the House of Love, I feel being in that comedy community when I was kind of doing sketch sort of playfully and I was doing the festival, it had become more of a, you know, David Owen and Cole Stratton and I were all performers, and we've sort of varied on the levels of performing that we've continued to do over the years, but there was a point at which the festival was so overwhelming as a festival that I just didn't even feel like I could perform on it at
sure,
all. And
yeah.
I started to sort of step back and go like, well, maybe I'm just a producer of comedy now, and maybe that's okay. And I don't know, maybe I like that. And I think we've all, again, had various degrees of that. And for Dave, my partner, he really does love producing, and he doesn't have that bug to perform. And I totally understand that
sure.
because I am closer to him than I am to the person who is like, I'm going to be a road comic. I got to get out there, or I got to do these open mics. I want the San Francisco experience of like, just bring all those smart, savvy people that have already fallen in love with all my heroes, and I can just piggyback on the
Precisely.
Hard work they did.
Exactly.
Yeah. And be in a beautiful city, and my improv group theme park that really is sort of only exists at festivals because it has all of these people who are on TV shows and stuff, who don't or have kids and don't feel frankly incentivized to do something in LA because it's where they live, work, and breathe, and everyone already knows them and stuff. But to get the opportunity with a group of people you love to go be in Portland or go be in Vancouver or New York or Chicago, they'll jump at it and they'll make it work in their schedule because it's a fun trip away with friends. But that's about the experience of that city and our friendship as much as it is anything else. They would never be like, we just love improvising so much. We're going to Dubuque, you guys. This is the Dubuque Festival. We got to get out, you know.
And that's one of the things I love about Sketchfest, right? It's a time of year I get to see a whole bunch of my friends all at once.
Yeah, you have tons of friends at Sketchfest.
It's one of the reasons this place is kind of such a mess, because I had a few people over on Saturday night after all the shows I did. And it's, you know, that festival thing of the place you get to see that group of people each year.
Yeah.
It's really gratifying.
Well, it's like camp.
Yeah.
Right? It's like summer camp.
Yeah, that's what I think Fred Armisen said that. And boy, he said that on the record in an interview. And we trot that quote out
right on the poster
as much as we possibly can, because it does feel accurate. And also, like, if I may, sir. You also belong to this wonderful, like, this sort of collective is also a bunch of nerds who nerd out on each other. And you know that. You know that there are people that you're like, I can't believe so-and-so likes me. But they do for, you know, because they love what you do. And yes, it is, you know, a little off to the side of what someone who does stand-up does. But I think it works in your favor.
It totally does.
Yeah.
No, I loved all the weird, I have my image of Sketchfest over the last half dozen years. Is of randomly weird and peculiar people sitting in the captain's chair behind me, holding court throughout the evening.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's been so many nights when it's like, I introduced a feminist to the founder of Reddit, and they became really good friends.
Nice, nice. You're a connector.
Because he's a feminist, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the, these great confluences of different people.
Absolutely.
Cool.
I wanted to bring up, because this is a big thing that happened last week, and I can't believe it's only been 1 week. I was in Chicago last week for Obama's farewell address.
Oh, you? I didn't know you were actually there.
I was.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was.
How'd it feel?
It was
somber to say.
It was somber. It is the only week in my Twitter history I lost followers.
Did you?
Net loss of. Well, look, fist bump to be sure. I read your comments. I know that like there's a lot of people who indulge my liberal bleeding heart tendencies, and I get you. I feel you. I want people to know, like, I don't think that you're stupid if you voted for someone I disagree with. Mm-hmm. I think we all want, you know, a stable life for our kids and our families. Yeah. And I really get that. All that being said, holy cow, what a beautiful room to be in with 18,000 people who most of whom had been working with Obama for, if not eight, then 12 or 13 years.
Yeah.
A bunch of my Chicago like tech community friends who worked on the first campaign and like built the infrastructure that helped get him elected were there and were posting stuff. And it was just like, yeah, it was amazing.
It was there. And the point at which he started to choke up about Michelle, and it was the most minor tick possible, but in the room, it felt like the Titanic hit an iceberg.
Yeah, just silence.
Silent. The crowd. No, it was like he was like Michelle, and he paused for the briefest second, but the whole crowd was like, you know, like Kermit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Muppet level enthusiasm.
Exactly. Yeah.
What was the room chatter going in? Were people talking about how the last, you know, 8 years have been? Were they worried about the future? What was
everybody's was worried about the future?
Yeah.
This is a room of, as you can imagine, with Obama, it was a room of mostly people of color and one of the most diverse crowds I have ever been around, that I've ever been in the middle of. And it was like I said, it was a beautiful room. There was a lot of talk, you know, he had released a statement saying it was going to be a speech about looking forward, not looking back. And I loved it. He spent like basically 1 minute of that speech going, here are all the things that we got done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's where everyone's at, is what do we do moving forward? And all the people I know who are the staffers who are leaving this week or last week, they're like, where can I use these incredible skills that I have gleaned or discovered in myself over the past 8 years?
Right. That's a can of worms.
Yeah, it really is.
It's hard not to just want to talk about that all the time. But
we use a line from 30 Rock in my house. We go, no rat talk tonight, sweetie.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a two nights a week that we talk about that. And the rest of the time, we're not allowed to talk about things that we see on Twitter after about 6 o'clock in the house now. Nice. It's worked out really well. It's been good for mental health and self-care.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's on Mythbusters about 5 or 6 years ago, and I've talked about this on the podcast. I went through this whole program of stress reduction. I stopped drinking because just it's hard to drink when you're older.
It's hard work.
I can't.
And I started getting good amounts of sleep. I started meditating, and I turned off NPR. I like stopped listening to NPR completely because I found that for a week my radio was broken, and I was so happy.
Uh-huh, yeah, I don't. I worked for. I guess it was about 6 months for the Huffington Post. I was there for his reelection, so that was a very intense 6 months, because within that 6 months were Hurricane Sandy Hook.
Oh wow!
Debates, you know, just all the caucusing, the reelection voting, staying late, and reporting that he was there. I'm not a journalist, but they created this show, the whole network called HuffPost Live, which was this sort of conversation and reporting. And they brought some people. Yeah, this is a crazy like left turn. This is a weird veer off the side of the road for me. But they came to me because of dinner and a movie, weirdly, and then this podcast I do, and the fact that I have some semblance of intelligence somehow, somewhere, publicly, and said we were doing these. We want people that are hosting. We have somebody who's like hardcore Politico. We have a couple of those. We have somebody who's kind of coming from, you know, Good Morning America type world. But we want people who are also you know, sort of smart, but the people who read us, but aren't necessarily the people who would be sitting and reporting.
Normals,
some normies. And they said, you don't have to be, exactly. You don't have to be, an expert on anything that we discuss. You can sort of be the person who says, well, now I don't really understand that. Could you, for the folks at home and for me, could you explain that?
Right.
And so I just, and I had a few meetings with him, and I kept sort of saying, and I don't want to say like, oh my God, they would not let me go. But I really was, I just kept thinking, I don't know if I'm the right person for this. Guys, as it turned out, I wasn't. But the reason wasn't that I think I was pretty good at it. And we launched the whole thing. I drank the Kool-Aid after I started having these meetings. It was like, it was very Sorkinian. It was guys,
Ariana,
we have the chance
tattoo.
To do this thing. Yeah, we have the chance to do this thing that's never been done before. We're going to have people. And so for the sort of beta phase, it was like that. It was like, I would read, you know, in the morning we would be in a bullpen and I would read stories on HuffPo and go, I want to know more about that. Can we get this guy, that girl, and that mom, and that senator who all had a point of view about this who never spoke, and get them all in this sort of Google Hangout together?
That's fun.
And it worked. I mean, it was astonishing. People were having conversations that would normally never have conversations, and that was really exciting. And then as the year wore on and all of these horrible things started happening, that's when I was like, oh, I'm not a journalist.
Right.
I'm not emotionally prepared to handle this at all. I cannot talk about Sandy Hook
right.
without crying.
Right.
I'm not the person that anybody should be looking at for information. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So I really ended up having to kind of take a huge step back. And but the point is, after that happened, after I did that, now I know what it feels like to live and breathe the news.
Right.
And I don't pay any attention to it now. I mean, I very much don't. I can't even read Twitter feed, really. Like, I haven't really been looking at anyone's Twitter feed since it became clear that he was going to be the person who was running.
I'm there with you. I wrote to a friend of mine last night who was engaging with somebody during the whole Rob Schneider thing that happened yesterday.
I don't even know what
you're talking about. You're better off for that.
Basically, I mean, that name is, I don't like perk up excitedly.
The you can do it guy has feelings.
I wrote to a friend of mine and I was like, I can't believe you have the energy to engage this shit. And he's like, it is what I have to do.
I appreciate, you know, I do look at someone like Michael Ian Black, whom I adore. And I don't know if it's like this for him, but some people do sort of feed off of that, and I don't know if it's like extrovert versus introvert, if it's that same kind of principle where you build momentum and you actually are energized by that kind of exchange versus other people who are sapped by it.
Well,
but I'm definitely sapped by it.
Let's talk about this one thing, because Andy Richter, I saw him on Sunday because I did his wife's podcast with Susan Orlean.
Yeah.
And Andy was saying, you know, I keep tweeting the political stuff and people keep writing to me and telling me, stick to the funny shit.
Oh. Well, there's nothing that makes me more upset.
That happens to Dana Gould,
than that. I don't follow you for this. I was like, tough shit. You're following me. You get what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And by the way, let's just state for the record that the argument politics isn't your bailiwick and you should leave it to professionals is no longer ever an argument.
No, it's not for the rest of time. That's correct. That's correct. And that's the experience. That's because I had nothing to do with that. I mean, when I started to hear rumblings about it, I just thought, I go out of my way to not have to hear certain names because I just don't care. And it doesn't feel like it affects me. There is The Apprentice doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care. I kind of know what one of the Kardashians looks like, but I don't, I honestly, because just by virtue of like, I am in the checkout lane again and here it is. But on a very sort of cellular, but also like this is not the most important part level. But that was the most baffling part of it was I'm just hearing this name all the time now, you know, in a way that
I'm
sort of
disconnected. It's the most said word on media.
And so on some level, I feel the same way. I'm more interested in connecting with and understanding the way this all went down and really getting a sense of like, oh, these are all the reasons why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Much more so than just, you know, pooping on people who felt that way. I totally get that I live in a bubble and I totally get that there's a lot of rhetoric that went out about, you know, Hillary that seemed right. And maybe I'm wrong. And, you know, the people that believe that are right. I guess I don't know. I wasn't there, you know?
Right.
But ultimately, it for me was like someone said Kim Kardashian was running for president. Like, that was the connection I had to it. Mm-hmm. I was like, they're both moguls. They're right. both magnates. They both have somehow have managed to capture the industry, their respective industries,
an aspirational
in some
zeitgeist.
Way that is, yeah. you know, that is astonishing to me, but it doesn't affect me or isn't part of my world.
Yeah.
And it just all rushed over. But it was as absurd to me as if it were her. I just was like, I don't understand.
No,
I don't
know.
Understand. And now I understand more. And I've had a lot of tough conversations with people, you know, people who are in my family or very adjacent to my family
yeah.
who will tell me at length what a genius he is. And he's very good at certain things. I don't argue with that, but I just don't know. I don't feel prepared for the upcoming
shit's
year.
Weird, yo.
Feel,
yeah,
it's weird.
Well, the thing to me about it is that there's a Neil Postman book called Amusing Ourselves to Death that's basically about the rise of trivia and how the human brain is unable to differentiate things that are important, like immediately in a kind of five core needs, you know, the hierarchy of needs mm-hmm. versus being presented constantly with these things that aren't important and that feel important because they're just repeated over and over and over again. And figuring out how to manage that kind of information overload, which is, I think he wrote that in like 1980 or 1985.
Crazy.
And like presenting that with the world of today where you can have a phone that updates you every time somebody says something, every time somebody writes a story about a thing, where you're just constantly inundated with what seems like awful to terrible to apocalyptic news. It's figuring out how to manage that is hard. And I don't think there's anything wrong with just saying, no, I'm gonna yeah. be over here.
Well, and I'm gonna be over here isn't I've got my head in the sand. It is, oh, and because I've confronted this too, I have my zone that I'm in. I have a mission. I want to normalize making. I want every kid in the world to be building shit because I love that.
Yeah.
And so that's the zone I'm going to concentrate on.
Absolutely.
Well, that's where you can make an impact.
Right.
That's where your work can make a difference.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you do the same thing. It's like when you manage large projects, you have to limit your focus from all the other things that are trying to drag
yeah.
it away in order to.
It sounds like you're saying Andy Richter should stick to the funny.
I used to like that guy, but I mean, yeah. since he got political, it's
yeah.
just been all day.
I just want to say, Will, that I understand that. Seems crazy that book was written in 85, but we were very focused in 85. Like, I remember I felt I needed to wear two swatches
oh.
in 1985 because
totally
my time was
thing.
So precious
well,
that I needed to see it twice.
Did you have the Swatch Internet time watch, though? Did you know how many beats mm-hmm. it was? Did you not know about it? Have you talked about
very,
this?
Listen, I was very young in 85. So
oh, well.
For me, it was about ooh, bright colors, which some things never change.
Shiny.
I realized right now okay. as I was looking at my watch, it's basically the Swatch of today. Except this may or may not have, like, information on the tides. I've never surfed a day in my life.
But it's a good color.
But I like red and blue yeah. to get. I like hey. Red and blue.
Contrasting colors are nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No.
Oh, I was going to say one more thing. I have, like, eight things floating around in my head because of all the cool stuff you guys have been saying. But to take it back around to what some of the interests are of your viewers and listeners, mm-hmm. I also want to say I understand. We all love a story about the rebel on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love the idea of leadership on the outside. I look over and think about Captain Kirk.
Sure.
I think about Luke Skywalker. I think about Han Solo. Like, there's sort of, we all want, we love the idea.
It's a compelling narrative.
It's a very compelling narrative.
Two-thirds of that narrative is really compelling to me. It's just
yeah.
the fascism and racism part that I kind of have, you know, personal problems with. But
and
the
fascism,
like fixing.
And let me separate that. I think the fascism is still theoretical. The racism, totally actual.
Yes, we have a few days before we find out. We'll know. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you in the camps.
Yeah.
So
this just that somehow the video feed is just cut off,
yeah.
and that's the first sign. Like,
let me tell you,
somehow they knew they could cut this off right now as we're recording it.
Yeah, but coming in and putting term limits in place for Congress is, I think, a actionable good thing
totally.
That he wants to do and
yeah.
is and would be better for the Republic.
Well, that's what I mean. That's. A lot of the other kind of rumblings among friends of mine who are maybe less afraid on some level and are thinking provocatively on another is like, what if he does a bunch of really great stuff?
No, this right. is this
right?
is
that's
this
what
this
people
is
are
the magical
starting
thinking
to say
I'm in right
is
now.
Like,
and he says, no, it's going to be insurance for everybody.
And like,
and
how do I exactly? You sort of go, I don't know what how to feel about that.
Right.
Like, I kind of want to hate it. What's because I don't want anything good to happen. I certainly we don't want to give credit to somebody that we.
Well,
shit,
and we're
man.
In
the
zone where you
I
know,
don't know. I
we keep seeing the headlines like, "Well, the CIA, blah blah blah," and Donald Trump says that's all bullshit, and everyone's rallying, and then Glenn Greenwald shows up and is like, huh, "Let's all remember it's the CIA. Like,
right.
don't
yeah.
take anything they're saying on face
yeah,
value."
Yeah,
it's
should be weird.
It's gonna be a real real weird couple of years. So yeah. So, this is a charming upbeat note.
No, I don't mean so. I want to describe to you the business trip I just had.
Okay,
okay, great.
I had a shoot in Wisconsin for a client. It's a wonderful client that I'm doing several things with. But in order to satisfy all the different things that are going on, because I'm also writing this touring show that we hit the road with in late February, Brain Candy, I left the house two nights ago at 11 p.m. for a red eye to Chicago to arrive at 5 a.m., drive to Wisconsin, to this testing facility, shoot for all day long, and then at 5 o'clock yesterday, got back in a car, went to Milwaukee, flew back through Texas home 25 hours, portaled door to door.
Wow.
I never slept. I mean, I did sleep. I slept on every plane. I slept on every
right.
car.
Right. Well,
I slept
yeah,
on
you're
every bus.
Snatching little bits of it yeah. here and there rather than like a nice hearty.
You're holding it together pretty well.
But
yeah,
I, like
okay.
I said, I slept on many different.
That doesn't count.
No, it does.
But we've talked about this before because I feel like, you know, the last time we saw each other in New York Comic Con, you were in a similar place
yeah,
where you were
crazy.
Just sort of puddle jumping for all these different reasons, including getting to see family, but also
yeah.
doing a bunch of work stuff. And there is that sort of new parent thing that happens where you're like, this is how it is right now. And this is like, there's some sort of weird thing that clicks into place where
totally.
I'm powering through it. But like, when I'm home and not in that space, I look at that guy and go, who's that guy?
Right. What are you
why
doing?
Can't, also, why can't I have some of that energy here at home after I just got 8 hours of sleep? Like, why can't I have some of that manic energy that I had over there?
Well, and then there's those things you know that you're going into that like, oh, well, pure adrenaline will carry
yes.
me through 80% of what's coming.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Like, yeah. that's just the, you know, that like, because I'm doing stuff that I'm really having fun doing.
Well, that makes a huge
a
difference.
Yeah.
I really want to go back to Wisconsin. I did a con there. I thought I was going
Wisconsin.
Yeah. Put the con in Conson. I thought I was going to Madison for a Comic-Con. I was so excited because I'd heard so many great things about Madison
yeah.
and the school and people and funny and I. It turned out that I was at Wisconsin Dell, I think is what it's called.
Is it a different
school? It's like not a school. It is like an hour outside of Madison. And it is, for those of you who live in the North, absolutely you know what this is. But it's just sort of like the Vegas of indoor water parks.
Oh, nice. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Why would you not want that in Wisconsin?
I mean, but you know, so it sort of has this... Like the hotel that I was staying, but it just was the opposite of what I thought.
Right,
I thought,
right,
oh,
right.
I'm going to get all this great kind of great mat. No, it was cold. I was inside. It's everything smelled like chlorine because
yeah.
there's nowhere
yeah,
for that smell
burns.
To go. And it was very surreal in that I came in like dusting snow off my shoes and like two screaming children in bathing suits ran past me right as I walked in. I was like, this is weird.
It's like going to the circus for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's weird when you feel out of place wearing winter clothes in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
But the hotel that I was staying, I mean, it does have that sort of like, it's like not Vegas. It's like Laughlin, you know,
yeah.
where you're sort of like the hotel I was in had some sort of native peoples theme to it where
it's not quite
there's
tasteful
like
or a little bit off
pictures
the mark.
Of beautiful Africans and their beads and stuff. But it was, yeah, it was just very surreal.
Wow. I love it when you go to a hotel like that and that smell of chlorine is burning the back
of
your
singeing.
Nose. And the person at the desk goes, we have a pool. And,
and
as if
and
I'm
you
on
go,
a sitcom.
What?
Yeah, as if I'm on a sitcom, I go, really? No one else in the world is getting this joke but me, but I'm saying it
that's
for
good.
My own pleasure.
They can't smell it anymore.
That's
they're
right.
Just trying
that
to
whole part of the
chlorine
receptors are just
off.
Burned out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are smells like, Adam? That's what that person was saying.
In one of those hotels, I checked in, and you've had this, I'm sure. I checked in at like 1:30 in the morning, and I get my card, and I stagger to the room, and I stick it in, and it does not turn green.
I feel 35% of the time.
Yeah, and I'm just like, to me. So I go through some magical thinking, and I just keep on putting the card in.
Yeah.
And I figure I'm going to do this 30 times before I give up.
At least as long as it would take me to go back downstairs and come back up.
You push
up,
down
I will give
on the slot a little bit in case it needs a little more contact. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You wiggle it a little. Yeah.
And also, I'm fairly bad at stuff like that when it is working properly. Right. Yeah. I sort of somehow I found a way to not do it right. Yeah. So then my distrust of myself kicks in as well. And so I would probably do it for double as long.
Yeah.
Just muttering to myself.
So there I do it. I do it like 20 times. And then the door opens.
Oh, no.
And there's a guy in his bathrobe. And he goes like this. Mythbusters.
So, and I wanted, forever after, I wish that I had gone, no one will believe you, and pulled a Bill Murray and disappeared.
What do you think? Do you think he remembers it in the morning?
I think it's just a weird dream.
I have no idea.
Oh, like, that's great.
Like, I've done that in Vegas before, but never had the whole, like that's amazing.
The flip side of that is Comic-Con a few years ago. I've told the story in the podcast, but you haven't heard it. So,
great.
Sorry, everyone. You're just going to have to listen.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Julia comes back. I had a hospitality suite at the hotel because of Discovery. And Julia comes back to our room, and she puts the key, and it doesn't work. And it doesn't work. And it's like this on the door. And the door opens up, and it's Jeff Bridges.
Oh, wow.
And he's, like, totally in a – not in a robe, but, like, I guess sort of – in his gesture, he's in a robe and he's got some chips and he's eating them. And he's like, hey. And she goes, I think I'm in the wrong room. And he's like, I guess you are. She's like, have a good day. And she realizes she's one floor down.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
God, I really thought the end of that story was going to be that he had stopped by the hospitality suite.
That would be awesome.
But she absolutely had no right to be banging on his door.
But then I thought, wow, you said, I guess I'm in the wrong room. That's kind of like an intro to, well, maybe not.
Or am
I'm here to fix the cable.
You got to stay hopeful. I would love to.
Yeah,
when opportunity knocks,
exactly.
Literally, I guess, or when Julia knocks, I'm not sure. But God, that would be cool. I would love to meet Jeff Bridges.
He seems to hear the voice.
Pretty chill, right?
It's like, it's such an iconic voice in my, it's like knowing Peter Sagal, right? When you make Peter Sagal laugh, you're like, oh my God, the sound's coming out of him.
Yeah, he did it. He did the thing, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. God, Jeff Bridges. It will always be Flynn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not talking about Flynn from the 2.0 or whatever it was called.
No. Look, that was okay.
Legacy.
You're really
was it okay?
You're really messing with my Zen thing, man.
How dare they Lebowski him into the? Did you think it was okay? Well,
I like the character design. I like all the design around it.
That's the only thing you could have said. We all like the design.
It's all really good.
It.
I loved that
we
Daft
liked
Punk
all the
album.
Bells and
the Daft Punk album's great.
The Daft Punk album's great. Michael Sheen remains an unclassifiable actor.
That's
like he's like, I'm gonna
go
play a panty waste or a werewolf, depending on the day.
Yeah,
and also like not. I don't know, but part of what makes that amazing is that he. At a first glance, you just would think he's unremarkable on some level. Like, he is sort of the everyman guy. It's not like you're talking about somebody who's, you know, whatever the male version of Angelina Jolie is, where you're like, oh, you're remarkable just to look at.
Right,
so
yes.
I could understand how extraordinary things would be possible. It's great that he's like, it's just a guy.
Yeah. No,
just a brilliant actor guy.
It's like, it's Sam Rockwell's turn in Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Right?
Was he the bad guy?
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
That's before so he was Sam Rockwell to a certain degree.
Before we
so
all knew
when
he
makes that switch from nerd to like dangerous guy, and he's so insanely good at it.
Yeah.
Local San Franciscan, by the way.
Badass.
It's that shot when the camera spins 360 back to him, and he's all like, "Shit's gotten real, yo."
Yeah.
And you're like, "That's amazing."
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why I said yo.
He really took it back to
it's the name of the episode now.
Shit's real, yo.
Shit's gotten real, yo.
The Edward Norton in Primal Feared that everyone.
Yes.
That was like a sensation when that happened.
That really was. Primal Fear. What was there's a female lead in that movie and I can't remember her name.
Utterly forgotten because of Edward Norton. Was it Edward Norton? Is that the twist?
Yes. It would be amazing if that was in an Annalisa situation.
People still don't know that. That's what's amazing
about
it.
That's where Adam Sandler got the idea.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I think that's a great place to finish.
Yeah, I don't think. Let's go see what Rob Schneider's up to.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Have a great week, guys. Thanks for watching. Janice, thank you so much for coming by. This was awesome.
Thank you for coming by, Janice.
I love an opportunity to see you guys and come to Man Cave.
And Sketchfest, it's still going on.
Oh, yes. In San Francisco.
Where can people find out about more?
sfsketchfest.com is a way to do it.
And everything that you go to, you will find, if you have any interest in that or anyone in the group of that evening, you're going to go find all sorts of new people you had no idea and a group of people to enjoy it with. I mean,
yes.
The crowds, like having performed dozens of times for Sketchfest crowds, these are crowds of just pure love.
It really is. They're the best audiences ever, and you could be a part of that.
You can.
And this weekend, I will just say, because I can't believe this is still true, but it's only because we're doing them in huge theaters, that Nathan Fillion is coming, and he hasn't done the festival yet, even though he is one of those adjacent people who always almost does it. So it's tremendously satisfying that he's doing it, and he's doing Hardwick's Nerdist podcast, but he's also doing monologues for Upright Citizens Brigade ASCAT, and that is like a connection I've been waiting to see for a long time. Like, that's two of my favorite things in one room. So I'm excited about that. Yeah.
I think I'm on Quizzatron on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love Quizzatron.
Yeah. So I'll
be Rebecca.
There
That'll
answering,
be great.
Well, maybe answering questions with facts or just making some bullshit up.
Sure.
One or the other.
It's your prerogative, sir.
Yeah, I can choose.
I was going to be there, but I have to be out of town. Well, but I have a wonderful time with Rebecca.
You really always have to be out of town.
I know.
thank you guys for watching. Norm's on vacation. Norm took a vacation for the first time in. That I know.
Yeah.
I've known him for like 15 years now, and this is, I think, the first one.
I think it's a good sign. I think people who work as hard as Norm deserve to take some time off.
I couldn't agree more. So he'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I think we're going to try to do at least a couple more before you head out. So
yeah, we will.
Nice.
Thank you guys for watching. See you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.